also had to take responsibility with all the marketing skills and acting online. Happy Mother's Day. And just to get myself that was a funny video of us that was good. I think I recognize one of those guys. Is that the kid guy video? This morning, and I guess where I want to start this morning is we have a very good term. Did I make that right? You ever heard that? Anybody's heard that term? It's not heard that term. We're all like trying to do it. So I got to make that right. That means that there's been a relational deficit taking place. If you don't make it right, so, I don't know. My kids are all in front of me right now. My kids are off, and so I'll continue to do it again and again and again. There are times where we've had disagreements, you know, something's taking place where I will say to them, or you guys will say to me, or whatever. There's that realization after the blow up or whatever takes place, you know, there's that awkward silence. Drops, and you've got to go and make that right. Well, this morning, as we get into the text, yes, we read Galatians chapter 2 and 3 bits of it. We're not going away from Genesis and Genesis chapter 15. You can turn there. We're going to get to this morning, arguably, I say arguably, most important verse in all of Scripture. The centerpiece of evangelical Christianity, Protestantism, the principle in this verse sets us apart from everything else out there that I know of. This is the verse that has the essential piece of what we as believers should come to know and love. Treasure this truth that is found in here above all other truths in Scripture. I can't wait to talk about it. So when we look at Genesis chapter 15, verse 6, if you're an underliner, it's a footnote, you're a highlighter. However you choose to either do a verse versus a finish that out, circle this verse. It's repeated several times, as we've seen in the book of Galatians, for instance. It was repeated there, and Genesis is repeated there. And in Romans, it's repeated there, Romans chapter 4, Galatians chapter 3, and then chapter 2. And you know what? We're just going to take this morning to look at Genesis 15, 6, because it's a big deal, not because I'm making a big deal. The scriptures are. Some would say that the truth from this verse is central to the Christian faith. Folks, I would say that it's central to the Christian faith. It is absolutely essential that we know and understand the truth that's packed in this small, simple verse. You see, it's so important. This verse is so important. Let's look at Genesis 15, 6. And right at the beginning, it says, and he believed. Who is he? Abram. We've been looking at the book of Genesis, and we started in chapter 12, and we're walking through the story, the epic story of Abram. Abraham, the father of faith. The beginning is it is through Abraham, we have the beginning of the Hebrew nation, where it would God had promised to Abraham that his family, his heirs would be a blessing, and that he would receive land, and through that he would bless the entire world through him. And you see the beginning of the Hebrew nation here. And when he heard all of that, it was, you know, this promise was repeated to him, and it was clarified to him. Promise was expanded so that he got to hear more about this great and wonderful promise to Abraham and to each and every one of us today. And it says that after he heard that promise explained, that it was expanded and clarified, we hear it here, says he, what? He believed. I believe. See, this morning, we're going to look at this word believe. The thing about this doctrine, as I said, is essential to the Christian faith, and we hold it as Christians here. Close and dear, and it's called the doctrine of justification. Now, I'm confused. I really struggled. Should I use this word justification? Because it's not a word that we use very often when we talk today. We simply don't. But you know what? I'm going to use it, I'm going to define it, and I'm going to encourage us to memorize it and know it. Now, years ago, I was an athlete, not anymore. I just lost. I'm sure I broke in my last night's game, but my team's lost. Anyway, for those of you who are listening, so just be with them. We're in deficit right now, and we need to be reconciled with that. Anyway, that being said, when I was an athlete, I played on a Division I sports soccer team here in town. Once in a while, this team would go on tournaments, and it's not unknown. This tournament was in D.C., and I had been surprised to get to go. It's a bit of an outreach to be able to build and develop friendships, and it was over the weekend, so I decided, you know, when I was in the night, I just like, I have to go to that, so I had planned to go. I was going to go on my own. I planned to do really great with the other guys, much less since early in my time on the team, but I decided, you know what, I'm going to go to that tournament. Well, before I get this phone call, says, Peter, this is so-and-so, my car is closed, I need a ride. I'm like, okay, sure, well, let's go together. So we're on the second team, we decide to go to the third, and we're going to go together. And pick him up, and I do pick him up, get to the car, don't know each other very well. The first question he asked me, and this is usually a conversation killer for me, the first question he asked me, so, Peter, what do you do for a living? And I said, well, I'm a pastor. And he goes, oh, you're a man of the cloth. I guess you can say that. I should take this with me because I'm usually going to a Catholic priest. I'm a Protestant and a Baptist pastor. And then he said, what is the difference between a Catholic and a Protestant? Right away, my heart is a smile. I bought enough of 3 hours. The driver I took the food of the PC, I get to explain the wonderful truth of Abraham in Genesis 15, the centerpiece and the central point of the Christian faith is sola fide, faith alone. Faith alone. By grace, through faith, in Jesus Christ alone, we are made right with God, we are justified. With God by faith in Jesus. Now, my question is, would you be able to explain the difference? Do you know with confidence that you describe what it means to have saving faith through Jesus Christ alone through the experience? And if you can explain, and if you do know, do you have confidence in that truth, and can you today have that wonderful and beautiful confidence that one day we can stand and be warned by the Lord. We will stand before the Lord. I talked about this a little bit. And say, I'm forgiven. I've been redeemed. I'm confident in this truth. And you, may I share with you today, if you don't know this, you can have this confidence today that you are forgiven and you have been redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. You can have that confidence today. You can be assured with this truth, just as Abraham did, you can too. That's the wonderful and beautiful truth that we have as Christians, even though we're Protestant Christians, we can have that assurance and that confidence that we can stand before Him and say, I will forgive you. I will forgive you. You are good. You are great. Now, what is the definition of justification? If I were to have points in the back, this would be the first one. The definition of justification. Just real simple. Real simple. The definition of justification is to be made right, or to be declared righteous. To be declared righteous. What does it mean? What is the definition of justification? It means to be declared righteous, to be made right with God. Justification is an act of God that He declares a sinner righteous. Because that sinner's faith and belief is centered on the Lord Jesus Christ alone. Now, it is not our faith that saves us. We don't have faith in faith. We have faith in Jesus Christ. So it's not the measure of our faith, a little or much little faith, and I put my faith in my faith. No, that's incorrect. We put our faith in Jesus Christ and what He has done for us on our behalf is our salvation. Properly understood, justification has to do with a declaration about a sinner. He doesn't make us holy at that point. He declares us holy. We don't become perfect, although I think some of us wish we were, right? He declares us holy. He doesn't make us holy. So He looks at us just as if we have not sinned. Because we are clothed at the time of belief, when we come to faith in faith in Jesus Christ, we are clothed with Christ's righteousness. Christ took on our sin, and He imputes to us His righteousness. He looks at us, and we are declared righteous. We are made perfect. That doesn't come into resurrection and work. So you come quickly, as I said now, oftentimes. Man, you know, are you not weary of your own sin? Are you not growing weary of the sin of this world? Are you not longing for the return of Jesus? Oh boy, I've had a lot of conversations with you that you've been in this room. But He hasn't returned yet. We're still on mission. But in the meantime, we can stand with confidence if indeed you and I have placed our faith alone in Jesus Christ alone. And by His grace, we have been declared righteous. You can know this for certain. This is the beautiful thing about the Christian faith. And folks, this will be one of the most important decisions, the most important decision you will ever make. What will you do with God's Son, Jesus? You don't want to tell me. Therefore, I need to make it right. I need to pay for it. And so,
starts coming and he says, Daniel, this is good. The one pardoning you, you might be gifted this year. Somebody actually teaches you. Father, but through me. Now, the life of Christ's righteousness reminds me of the chorus that we sing at Sunday. Lord, I need you. Why would you need Jesus? It says this, Lord, I need you. Oh, I need you. Every hour, I need you. You are my one defense, my righteousness. Oh, God, how I need you. Christ has taken our place and died in our place. In our place, Jesus has met God's perfect and righteous standard of justice. He lived that perfect life. He died the perfect death. He took on our sin as our substitute on the cross. And so we believe this today. Will you believe it? Will you trust Christ? Will you see that you would not, cannot put any faith in your own works? Please don't do that for the love of God. Don't put faith in your works. In Jesus Christ alone. May you depend on it and claim his righteousness as your very own, as our substitute. We all must face the day of judgment. And we know that there's those two bad categories, condemned and justified. Condemned, the destination of eternal, conscious punishment. Faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. And in Jesus alone, where we can at judgment day believe that we have been forgiven and in fact been redeemed, which I'm excited about. Now, as I said before, Genesis 15 says, I'm not making a big deal out of this. The Bible does. If we can read it, like I said, in this few other spaces, we don't have time to look all three places. It is read for us this morning, the Galatians passage, the James passage is there, but what I would like you to do now is turn to Romans chapter 4. Romans chapter 4. You know, I think for me that what really does, there's another gospel being taught, and that gospel is faith in Jesus, yes, but also your own works. It's both a plus and that is being taught, whereas from what I know, from what I understand, the thing that stands out in Christianity and Protestant evangelical world and the world of worldview is no, it's sola fide, it's faith alone that saves us through Christ alone. Anything else is a different gospel. And to find that there is any harmony in that is wrong. So don't, I don't want to say it's disappointed and frustrated, but there's still an effort to declare the Reformation over. When it is not, we still have this issue within the Christendom world, those who walk under the banner of Jesus. We even have other cults out there that say, you must be part of this organization for you to be saved. that's a different gospel. Those gospels we are to warn people about. In fact, in Galatians chapter 1, what does Paul say about those different gospels? They are to be condemned. They are a different gospel. We are to warn about those gospels. That is not the good news that you get to place faith in your own words. That's actually terrible. Remember what people say. That is terrible news. Now, Romans chapter 4, quickly, it says, in 4:1, we're just going to read the first 5 verses. We'll read 1 and 2 together. So, the first point is, what is the doctrine of justification? It's when you're not, it's to be declared right. It is to be declared righteous. We're not made righteous. That doesn't happen until glorification. But we are declared righteous before a holy God. The second thing is now, in actually, you know what, I should even take a step back even before you read that. In Romans chapter 3, there is an argument or a discussion. Now, the discussion is, can a person be a Jew, or should a person be a Jew first before they can be a Christian? So, to be a Jew, there's some things that they have to do, some rituals and some rites that they must follow along with and do before they become a Christian and put their faith in place. They have to do both. And that was being confusing. It was a bit of faith plus works. And Paul was saying, no. Don't buy into this system. Don't buy into that. In fact, if you look at Romans chapter 3, verse, I believe it's 21. If I can just turn it real quick myself. Romans 3, 21. But what becomes of our boasting? What if you put your faith in your own words, then guess what? You deserve salvation. You can boast about it. But the truth is about salvation that it is a gift. It is given. You don't earn a gift. There is nothing there that you can boast about. So if you can work for your salvation, you can say, I deserve this. I earned it. And Paul is saying, yes, it's not a gift. It's a wage. The fact of the matter is that when it comes to salvation, it is by grace through faith in Jesus alone. That's what sums up that argument in chapter 3. That's what chapter 4 of Romans, verse 1. So, to provide an illustration of this truth, that's where Paul goes to Abram in Genesis 15. And then shall we say what's gained by, what then shall we say was gained by Abraham, our forefather according to the flesh? What does he have to boast about? He's saying, for if Abraham was justified by works, he has something to boast about, but not before God. This is not work. You cannot square this circle. Abram was not credited to righteous because of his works. It was because of his faith. And what is true for Abram must be true for his descendants. If Abram was justified by his own works, then he would not need God to give him forgiveness or glory. Instead, Abram would boast what he could accomplish in his own works. And Paul says that Abram did not obtain things for himself to boast about. You know, a lot of people say and preach that salvation is like a frog. Yeah, we said that. But let's follow along. It's like a frog in a bucket of cream. Now, cream in the bucket is high enough that the frog can't put any pressure on the bottom of the bucket to jump out. But the cream is low enough that he can't reach to the top of the bucket and crawl up. So this frog is panicking. And if it's panicking, he's working as hard as he can in this cream to get out of the bucket. So he's pushing and pushing and pushing and swimming around. And he's turning the cream into butter. And soon enough, after all this hard work, the cream turns into butter. It's solid enough where he can put his feet down and jump out of that bucket. See, that is what the world and different gods will say salvation is all about. If you just work hard enough and long enough, you can save yourself. But folks, in Galatians, Paul says that is a different gospel. say I go to church, I help the poor, I do hungry, I'm a patient person, I find homeless and food, I do volunteer work, all of that. But Romans chapter 3, verse 20 says, for by works of the law, no human being will be justified. Putting our faith in all our good works is pointless. We are, in fact, commanded, though, to do good works, for by grace we've been saved through faith. And this is not your own doing, but it's a gift of God, not a wage that is due. It is a gift from God, not a result of our works, from Ephesians 2:9. So that anyone can boast. But going on to verse 10, we are workmanship created in Christ Jesus for good works which God prepared beforehand that we can walk in. So we are not saved by our good works, we are saved to the good works. That's the scripture says. So the first part is that Abram was not. The illustration of Abram is to say that he was not saved by his works. Now let's go on to verse 3. Abraham was justified by his faith. Romans 4:3. So this is the familiar verse for what the scripture said. Abraham believed God and it was counted to him as righteousness. So here's the quote of Genesis chapter 15, verse 6. Here's the illustration that Paul is using that we are saved by faith and by grace through Jesus alone. Verse 4 of Romans 4. Now, to one who works, his wages are not counted as a gift, but as his due. And to those who does not work, but believes in him, who justifies their body, his faith is counted as righteousness. Again, he said to these Jewish leaders, hearing that God justifies men, that would be a justified. That's impossible. We have to become God ourselves. He does that. And Paul is flipping it on his head and saying, no, he justifies the ungodly through faith by grace in Jesus alone. We are counted because we believe. The word counted means to take into account or credit something to someone. We all have a choice. We can put our faith in our works as payment for our sin, or we can put our faith in Christ who paid for our sin. In full, when Jesus on the cross, he said in his words that we can put hope in him. It is finished. There's no work for us to do, folks. It is finished. Jesus completed the work on the cross. He satisfied the wrath of God on our behalf, which should have been ours. If he took on his shoulders, he took our sin upon himself. Experience the wrath of God upon yourself, and in return is called the great exchange. By faith, by grace, we receive his righteousness and declare justified. Oh, this is the good news. This is what we hold to do. This is the difference between Catholic and Protestant. This is where we stand with confidence on the walk of Jesus for our salvation. And I love it. Abraham believed. Now, if you were to just look at that real quick, to verse 20 and 21 of Romans chapter 4, I'm going to pray this way. No belief made him waver. This is Abraham. No unbelief made him waver concerning the promise of God. But he grew strong in his faith and gave glory to God, fully convinced, it says, that God was able to do what he promised. And it is the content of his faith. He was fully convinced that God can do what he said, even though he's sitting there way back in Genesis chapter 15. He's looking at the circumstances and he's saying, okay, I get the circumstances, but I believe. Fully convinced, unwavering, Jesus dies for you and I. He is able to keep you in the palm of his hand and take you to eternity with him. You believe that to be true to God. You believe that he can forgive you. You know, some people will say, no, you don't know what I'm doing. repentance and death to life for all eternity. From the darkness and chains of the dungeon of sin to the light and the liberty of God's grace. Earlier, I said that you can go through the process of blessing. How can I know that I am right with God? You know right now that you are right with God entirely through God as God is through you in Jesus Christ. My Lord John says this. Do not see that you can become a Christian immediately at this moment. You have not grasped the doctrine of sanctification. The moment one sees this doctrine, one says, yes, I believe. I see that it is as possible for me to become a Christian now as it will be in 1,000 years. If I was new to the world and became a monk or a hermit and spent my whole days in fasting and sweating and praying, I would be no more than a monk. God justifies the adulthood of the person who believes in Jesus. You know, I found a story of Charlotte Elliot. Does anybody recognize that name? Yeah, I do. Okay. Okay. She's a young woman who is deeply concerned about the relationship with God. She went to church. And she heard the gospel several times. But she did not get this to Christ. One day, an old Christian visited her home. In the course of conversation, she said, in this direct way, Charlotte, what are you going to do to Jesus? Taken back, she replied, well, I don't know. The old Christian said, you don't know how. Why? You come to Jesus as a Christian woman. Later that evening, she couldn't shake those words. She knelt by her bed and put her trust in Jesus Christ as her Savior. His blood can cleanse and spot away from his blood. His salvation, our world received, will welcome, pardon, cleanse, and leave, because the promise, I believe, O Lamb of God, will come. If you will come to Jesus right now, acknowledging that you are Jesus, but trusting in his shed blood as a just, from your sin. Like the man Jesus spoke of, he cried out, God, merciful